Yesterday was my 9th birthday celebrated in our community. As has become a habit, I like to sponsor a kiddush to celebrate my birthday with y'all. And I like to use these moments to reflect on the past year, both on what you've taught me as rabbi and where we've been. I think it's the movie Cool Hand Luke. Great movie I have not seen in far too long. Some would describe it as one of the sweatiest movies of all time. It's about convicts, sometimes on a chain gang. If I recall correctly, I think it's Luke whose mother is dying or dies. And the warden recognizes that at that moment, one might be most inclined to misbehave or even to break free. As many of you know, my mother is ailing. God willing, she'll have many more years left on this earth. But frankly, it makes being so far from home again harder. And the desires, I think, of anyone who's been the child distant from an ailing parent to be closer and to help the siblings who are closer, who bear more of the load, is understandable. And I was discussing this with Karen Tuesday, and I said, I'd love to be closer to family, but what would happen to my other family, this family? You've made it after roughly a decade that it's a family that I'm very loath to leave. And I don't intend to. But it's, as many of us have experienced, distance makes having multiple families hard. This is not an auspicious parasha to have on one's birthday because it contains the curses, one of the two series of curses in our Torah, but it has many beautiful moments as well. We speak of God's tabernacle and, of course, later the temple as God's abode where God will be ever present. Natati mishkani betochechem. I've given you my tabernacle, my home amid yourselves. So it's not so unusual for a rabbi and for many of us to feel a congregation as a second home, a second family. As you know of me, I love the walls of this building, but more so than the walls themselves are the people who dwell within and without. The 300 some odd people who are inscribed members of our congregation and the dozens or hundreds of people who travel with us in community. And how they make this community, this congregation, this place precious. And even beyond that, the people of Knoxville and Upper East Tennessee who make the broader community, city, county, and counties, precious. And one thing I've learned with heightened awareness in the past year and years, remember your teachers would tell you what you get out of math classes, what you put in, so to speak? Used to annoy me as a child. I'm sure it annoys all of us, but it's certainly a truism. And I can't speak for other careers, although I imagine as a professor, a lawyer, it operates in a similar way. Certainly for a rabbi, the more you put in, the more you get out. And developing a mind for service and gratitude could not be more helpful professionally and personally in this role, but I think in life, period. So the parasha says that at some point in the degradation of the people, should they be accursed, eventually God will turn God's sights and remember the covenant that God had made with our ancestors. And the Magid of Dubnow, making a connection that I don't quite see, but his parable is quite lovely, talks about a young fellow who goes into a store and buys nuts. I imagine a small old brown paper bag and with the scoop fills up with nuts. And then you may have seen this with coffee or with nuts. The shopkeeper scoops a little extra on top, fills over the top pasta, so to speak, meniscus. And there's another person in the store who notices this. And when She buys her package. She expects to get that overheaping serving. And the shopkeeper rebukes her and saying, this guy is a regular customer. He buys not only nuts, but everything here. Why do I add something for you when you buy nothing ever? This is your first time. That overabundance of gift, something our community is very good at. The giving we do in chesed, in bikur cholim, in teaching, in leadership, in celebration, in grief, at shiva minyanim, at weddings and b'nai mitzvah. We give overabundantly, and I can only say that after roughly 9 years, I have been served overabundantly, and I am only now learning to try to give more and more of myself every day. And I think I fall far behind your gifts. But one thing that's been true in my role since the beginning, and Gilia used the word Seelsorger once, which is the German for a shepherd of spirits, shepherd of souls, right? Is the true meaning of the word compassion, or the origin of the word compassion, calm to share and passion suffering, that we as a community share in trial together. I was speaking to a younger person, someone in her 20s or 30s, and she had a concern about a biopsy, or it wasn't exactly a biopsy, and she was very, to be frank, she was unconcerned. But I said, should I be concerned? And she said, I'll let you know when I'm concerned so you can be concerned with me. Which is not only the job of a loved one or friend, but certainly the job of a rabbi, and something that I've, the word comes to mind as enjoyed, but it's not the right word. Something that I've appreciated about my work since the beginning. And that sort of compassion is something that God models for us at every stage of our tradition. We swallowed, I think inaccurately or to our detriment, medieval perceptions of God as removed and distant, and lost, perhaps to the Christians, the perceptions of God as sharing in passion with us, sharing in difficulty. But I like to reclaim those moments. So as God speaks of avenging our transgressions sevenfold, God says, "V'alachti imachem mechamat kari, v'yisarti etchem afani, sheva al chatotechem." I go with you even in my anger, it's not clear it's even if, and I rebuke you, etchem, rebuke you afani, as I, I'm going to leave that a little vague, sevenfold. So the afani, it's like saying, I went as I did. Well, you don't need that phrase. So our sages, the Baal Shem Tov in this case, say that what God is saying is, I will suffer too. I will chastise you just as I am chastised, just as we call that imitatio Dei and imitatio hominis, that God imitates us and we imitate God. That we are experiencing a conjoined experience, a fractal experience of the world with God and with the universe. And the Baal Shem Tov says that when a father punishes a child, the suffering he inflicts on himself is greater than anything experienced by the child. So it is with God. God's pain is greater than our pain. And the Mishnah says that as well, that when an Israelite or any suffers, what does God say? God says, my arm hurts. My kidney hurts. God feels passion and pain as we do. And I really say it's a joy of my work to cry along with you. I don't know why that is. It's not normal for a human being to love 350 people intensely. But there it is. And it's good spiritual practice for me. And if you have a chance to do it as a nurse or work with Bikur Cholim or in any other capacity, I highly recommend it. As they say, the heart is a muscle, and the more you work it, the more compassion you can have. I will be working on it for the rest of my career and my life, God willing. But you also noticed today that I was mostly in the alternative service, seeking inspiration and things to bring back from one service to the other, seeking spiritual sustenance, as the many people who are there do, and getting to experience two different, very different worship services in one morning, which I think Christians get things like that in their churches, but we don't all the time. And I want to lay the thanks for that at people like Rafe, Rachel, Ken, Marianne, and especially to share some gratitude for Ken and Marianne and our board, who in a day will get to sail off somewhere else, although as Ken points out, he still has plenty to wrap up, and Marianne does too. They entered at difficult moments, not just 2 years ago, Ken and to an extent Marianne years before that. And I know it's been hard, and I have not always made it easy. And the nature of the work is hard, regardless to who your rabbi and staff and other board members are. The nature of the work is hard with long hours and little gratitude. And we should all have the courage, nay, the chutzpah to take those things on, because it's needed in every community, not just in our board, but any board you want to serve on. It's not going to be easy, but it's vital to the work and life of any community. But the ephebic oath, one of the Greek oaths of citizenship, I think it was, said that you vow to leave the world better than it was when you arrived. And so I can assuredly say of Ken and Marianne and the rest of the board, people like Barbara Mintz and others who will be leaving the board, that they left the synagogue better than it was when they arrived. Among the blessings, as I said, this is not a great parasha for a birthday, but it does have blessings and good moments. It talks about your harvest coming in ahead of schedule, that the vintage will overtake the sowing, which is to say, you know, you're planting one crop, but the other, it's harried because the harvest is coming in so quickly. There's so much richness, and your storehouses of grain and oil and vine, wine become overabundant, and you'll have to clear out your storehouses. You have so much coming in. And I think that is what Ken and Marianne and others have bequeathed to us. Very abundant storehouses. Signally in events like Kala and Lights and L'chaim, but also in many other moments that most of you all haven't seen. And we are very, very lucky to have had such a strong board and such strong leadership for the past 2 and more years. And so I want to turn us, the dozens of us that are in the room and the dozens that are in the alternative service and the dozens that are not with us, to our future, to the next year and 5 and 10 years. As always in the life of a Jewish community, in the life of the eternally dying religion, some scholars call us, we have our fears, our insecurities, and more importantly, our successes. But first, the fears. So one of the curses is that the bread will be doled out by weight, that you'll be, I think the word is pecunious, with your food, that there'll be so little that you have to hold it very tentatively. As T.S. Eliot said, measuring out your life in coffee spoons. That fear, that insecurity. And we experience that when we look at our budgets, when we look at spaces, when we think about the roof, when we think about new advances in the community, when we look at new programs and assess them. It's so easy for a congregation or any other institution, especially a nonprofit, to be anxious. But that is in many ways antithetical to what God asks of us. We're told in the Mishnah of, I think, the Jerusalem Mishnah, that there are things, elu devarim she'ein lehem shi'ur, there are things that really can't be measured. And living with God, living in a holy community, living as the Jewish people, understanding God's teaching to make us Jewish is something that has no measurement, that exists, as they said in French, en vrac, that things you just scoop out. That, like a parent's love, the metaphor is not a well, but a spring. There is no limit. It is not a cistern that has a limited amount of water. Judaism, our congregation, our resources will replenish themselves. And Judaism, though we worry about it as the eternally dying religion, is also the eternally renewing religion, as will be this congregation. And those of you, even like me, if we live to 120, in 80 years this congregation will be, or what is that, 76 years. This congregation will be another thing. So in our time, in the time we have, together and individually, we can't stand still. We can't be complacent. Life is too short to be complacent. I've told stories before of meeting someone in a hospital who seemed complacent at 75, and I thought, what a tragedy that is. At any point in one's life, to stop growing and to stop trying and to stop advancing. And when God tells us to follow the laws, Rabbi Simcha Bunim, one of the Hasidic masters, says, you follow the laws not just on their letter, but rising higher and higher, not just standing in place. That if you don't yet have a Shabbat table, you buy a Shabbat table. If you haven't yet observed the Pesach Seder, you observe a Seder. If you've observed one, you observe two. If you haven't yet prayed or experienced prayer, you start small and build. That you rise higher and higher as a Jew, as a human, as a citizen at every moment. And you know, as I've said before, the goal is not abstract perfection. The goal is gains along the way. The goal is progress along the way. The Chofetz Chaim, also on a similar verse, says that craftsmanship, like Bezalel, requires effort, inspiration, and perseverance to get what you want. As I joke, I have no material skills. I give speeches, I can't use a hammer. But if you use a hammer and nails, the thing gets done, right? You've built the box, you've fixed the electrical socket, it's done. You work for X amount of time, you sweat X amount of moisture, perspiration, and it's done. But the Chofetz Chaim in the 19th century says that's not how Torah study works, that's not Judaism. Whether you finish or not, you get something. It's not on you to complete the task, but neither are you free to desist from it. So as a congregation, as your rabbi moving into the next years, God willing, we'll have many healthy and happy and even sad years together, and work and growth and progress. That's what we do. We don't stand still. As Goethe said, do not hurry, do not rest. That's what you have to do. And so I want to leave you with one of my favorite lines in Haftarot, a blessing for the coming year, even though it's only a fiscal year, so to speak, for me. It's the same year for you. It's just going to be June. But for me, it's a new year. Jeremiah says, cursed is the one who trusts in man. He will be like a bush in the desert, not knowing whence the rain comes. But blessed is the one who trusts in God, for that one will be like a tree planted by waters. And may you ever be like a tree planted by waters and rarely like a bush in the desert. Shabbat shalom. And thank you. Thanks to those who assisted today, but thanks to have helped me at every moment in my career, life, and home, and family, and office. Thank you.